The Market Analysis segment is coming your way in seconds. I'm Josh Bittner, producer at Market to Market. Thanks for listening. Enjoy.
This is the Friday, August 28, 2020 version of the Market Analysis segment from Market to Market. Demand, with a side of weather, fed the bulls this week as the market tries to sort out potential crop losses due to a derecho and drought. For the week, December wheat improved 14 cents, while the nearby corn contract jumped 19 cents, or 6%. China's buying spree, coupled with hot and dry weather, is driving the soy complex. The November soybean contract rocketed higher by 50 cents. December soybean meal rose $12.20 per ton. December cotton expanded 80 cents per hundredweight. Over in the dairy parlor, October Class 3 milk futures rallied with a $1.39 gain. A down week in the livestock sector. October cattle fell $3.65. October feeders declined $1.73, and the October lean hog contract dropped 60 cents. In the currency markets, the U.S. dollar index dropped 87 ticks. October crude oil gained 71 cents per barrel. COMEX gold rebounded for a $28 per ounce improvement. And the Goldman Sachs commodity index increased almost 10 points to finish at 360 even. Joining us now to give us some insight is one of our regular market analysts, Sean Hackett. Hello, sir.
Hey, Mr. Paul, how are you? Thank you so much for having me. Always an honor and a privilege.
Good to see you. Good to have you here. Like we do with you, we play rapid fire. Let's start with wheat. This is the one that kind of went along for the ride with corn last week. And then this week, the United Kingdom said we're probably going to have the worst crop in 40 years. Was that the main market mover or was there something else?
I think there was something else, Paul. I mean, generally, we're moving into a major La Nina weather pattern, which is hot, dry for the U.S., hot and dry for Europe, and hot and dry for Russia. We're really concerned that the hot, dry weather for Russian winter wheat planting is going to become a bigger problem and a market mover here. And so we think that was the bigger driver this week, because if they get off to a poor start and have poor stands in, you know, dry weather and over there, that could be a big driver as we move in to the spring season.
We're nearing resistance if we didn't possibly break through it today in trading. Are you selling right now to take advantage of this? Or are you waiting for this thing to go higher?
We would only be selling short-term cash needs, Paul. We think there's more room to run in the wheat market. We really would try to be patient unless you absolutely have to move bushels. And if you do, you always want to sell a rally like this.
Moving higher. $6, is that on the table?
We think $6 is a distinct possibility on the charts when we look at it. So we would kind of take a look at that as a September target for cash sellers to maybe get more aggressive here.
Okay. Are you aggressive right now in corn? I mean, again, breaking through resistance. 357, I think, was the resistance going into today. We finished above that on the December contract. What's the upside on the corn market?
We're still not that aggressive here, Paul, on selling cash corn. Obviously, there's always farmers that have to move this time of year, cash corn, and we would definitely be doing some short-term needs. We worry there could be a buy the rumor, sell the news here leading into the September 11th WASD report. And so if somebody's got to move some near-term corn, that, you know, that would be something to do to avoid having to take that kind of a hit. Intermediate term, though, we still think higher prices can be had as the market has to adjust further down yields.
Is that because of weather that's adjusting down, with dry conditions? What happened in that derecho area? Is there something else weather related that I'm missing?
The bigger issue, we've been talking about this all summer, is that we had June temperatures were 3 degrees above normal. July temperatures were 2 degrees above normal. We went back to 1960 and looked at every summer we had temperatures that high, and every single time we had a below trend line yield crop that was modulated by moisture. So we never believed the 182 number. And see, we think that's the primary reason why yields need to come down. But of course, the storm in Iowa just adds a maraschino cherry on top of the cake here.
So you're holding right now. How much longer at 370 on the March contract?
Counter seasonal trends that we're in right now, Paul, tend to top out in the month of September. So we think that, you know, whatever highs we're going to make here, the September contract, I mean, the September month is where we'd be looking for some kind of intermediate high. We don't think we're there yet.
All right. Well, you did kind of just steal. I shouldn't have told you what I was going to ask you. Darn it. I'll remember not to do that. No, I'm kidding. Dan in Northwest Iowa and Nathan in Inwood. And Nathan's our question. And it is about that counter cyclical trend. Sean, I want to point it out specifically here. It seems like we're doing things counter seasonally this year. Will we experience seasonal harvest pressure on both corn and soybeans?
Yes, but delayed, meaning we normally see seasonal pressure from back half of August into the back half of September normally. This year, we're going to see it in October after we make the September high. Remember, Paul, we normally make our highs in late June, early July. We made a low. So we're doing everything opposite. This is typical, classical, pre-La Nina kind of weather where we get weather problems later in the season that causes consternation and higher and counter-seasonal trends. So I guess the answer to the question is yes, but it'll be delayed from normal.
Okay. All right. So we're holding a little bit on corn. Let's talk soybeans then. There are numbers that begin with 5 and 5 on a weekly gain on the November and January contract. This is a big question. Are we just getting started on this contract?
We don't. We actually had been talking about a 950 target for quite some time. That was our target for what we thought would be a combination of weather and demand coming to play. Our smart money algorithm that we utilize, that we put together, that uses the COT report on Friday, is seeing some very aggressive selling in recent weeks. And we're very close to achieving what we call a smart money sell signal. And we utilize that tool to kind of pinpoint when we want to get more aggressive on the cash side of the market. So we think cash beans need to be sold a little more aggressively here than like corn and wheat, for example. We think that's more of a pressing opportunity.
So since we've broken through resistance, you're saying this is different than what you've said with wheat and soybeans. You're saying, or corn, this is something you got to take advantage of because this is longer. Are you booking sales past November now?
We're not doing it past November because we're concerned about South American weather being an issue with La Nina. But we absolutely believe that we would want to be taking care of our cash sales into the November timeframe right now. We really do not see, you know, that $9.50, $10 area being exceeded. We see some very cool temperatures coming here in a few weeks in September with some moisture. And that's going to take a lot of this weather excitement off the table, we think.
So. Okay. So that's the weather story on that one. But then there's the story this week that came out of China where they said China may buy 40 million tons. That would be 25% above year one, phase one amounts. That maybe is a fundamental piece of news saying we're going higher. You don't buy that?
We've heard a lot of talk, Paul, over the last couple of years from the Chinese. And so we tend not to believe much of what they say. We only believe what they do. And right now, all they've done is buy back to normal levels from arguably horrible levels from a year ago. So, you know, it's always possible, you know, that maybe they could come in and run the market higher, but we don't think they're quite ready to do that.
Okay. You're saying, show me the money. Got it. All right.
Show me the money.
Show me the money. All right. Cotton wise, there's some money this week. This storm, Laura, kind of missed a lot of the cotton area. There was a little bit of concern that was maybe the run-up, but we missed it. What more is at play in this market?
China's been buying a lot, like they've been buying everything, Paul. But we're worried about the cotton market. We're trading at a hefty 10%, a 10-cent premium over international price. Our domestic demand is not very good. And we think that unless we were to get, you know, a hurricane that were to come into more of what we call the core cotton growing areas that this one missed, this 65-66 area, Paul, is concerning to us, and we're getting some pretty bearish readings on our smart money algorithm. So we are a cash seller here.
Okay. Dairy-wise, there was some contraction in the price over the last 3-4 weeks. This week we reversed course. Which way are we headed now?
Government buying, government buying, government buying. That's really the story. They announced a $1 billion food box plan that and came in and bought the market aggressively, especially the cheese market. And so we've been dealing with this, Paul, since April. And, you know, they come in with a blaze of glory, and then they pull back like they did over the last month, and prices crash. So it's a really volatile market right now. But as a producer, we would be looking to sell government-led rallies because we think that we're going to continue to see production improve and get ahead of the government buying program.
up 8.5% today, or for the week, at $1.39 up to $17.72. That's quite a move. In the livestock sector, let's talk cattle first. In the live market, again, this is about China. They made a large purchase on August 20th, the week ending August 20th. That was the largest weekly buy in records dating back to 1999. On the surface, I'm going to say that's a big deal, but of course, there's more to the story. What is it?
Well, you know, they hadn't bought from us for years and years and years, and only a few years back did they agree to buy beef from us again. And so we don't really have a long history of them buying U.S. beef. And so even though we'll take it, it's good news, we would kind of downplay that as being a big market driver at this point. It could be a market driver in the future, but we don't think it's a major market driver at this moment in time.
All right, Wednesday, we marked 4 out of 5 days lower. We continued that streak as the week went on. That trend is heading down. Is it going to keep going down? And how much?
We think there's a little more room. We kind of got bearish with our customers and recommended cash sales at that 110 area in October. And we're just worried about demand here, Paul. We think the U.S. economy, although we're rebounding, beef's a high-priced item, and we're concerned. And we think the $1 a pound level is achievable on the October contract before we might dig our heels in and say that's enough for now.
Because the consumer ultimately decides in that battle between pork, chicken, poultry, and beef, which one's cheaper is what they're going to go with. And that's what you're telling me. There's still room to go. So let's talk feeders then. And in the sense, we still have, we're coming out of this ridiculously bearish report last Friday, and the market initially didn't respond the way we thought it would, but then it caught steam. Why the change?
You know, I just think sometimes it's hard for the bulls to give up a trade that they've been bullish on for a while and they've been making money on. And so everyone looks around. As long as everyone is still buying into it, they're good. And then all of a sudden someone decides to sell and it causes a cascade of selling. Markets are run by computers a lot of times nowadays. You know, the algorithms trade a lot of our markets and they don't think like you and I sometimes. And it takes them a little while to get the program to say sell. And we think that had more to do with it than anything else.
So the question becomes, though, if you're a producer looking to expand your herd right now, are you?
We would not be. You know, we would not be looking to do that right now. The cattle and feed report was a warning sign that maybe we're doing too much of a good thing. Prices rally, but not enough to really cause a good margin on the farm. You know, we'd be very careful, cautious. And if the corn market were, continue to head higher as we move into the South American growing season, you know, high corn prices are not good for fetal cattle prices.
So maybe that'll be what puts the any idea of expansion in the live market, I see. Hogwise, China's selling reserves, lower cold storage in the United States. Are the Chinese buying U.S. pork?
They are. They've been buying U.S. pork all year long. We've never had a pork demand problem, Paul. We had a too many animal problem, and we had a too less throughput problem at the packing houses. We've remedied the packing houses. We believe we're remedying the too many animals problem, and we're just starting to get to where the strong demand can overcome endless supply in the U.S., and that's why October prices have started to respond a little bit, even though they gave back a little bit today.
So the question then is, we were down 60. Is it going to go much lower? Are we going to hold here?
We think we're going to hold here. We think we've made a bottom and we're heading higher. For cash sellers of hogs, we'd be patient. We think there's more room to the upside before we might, play out this imbalance that we see coming.
All right. Sean Hackett, rapid fire. Love it. Thank you so much.
Great to be here, Paul. Love to come back again in person next time.
Let's hope so. Very soon. All right. That will do it for Market to Market. And this installment of the program, we will talk more on Market Plus, so you can join us there. You'll find it on our website of markettomarket.org. As many of you are returning to school, drop by our virtual Market to Market classroom for information on the science and business of agriculture. You can look it up at markettomarket.org/classroom. Next week, we'll look at how one operation is adjusting its agritourism business plan during the pandemic. Until then, thanks for watching. Have a great week.